Number 11. Gateway Rail Line Shadow. Though the connection to the past may be hard to envision among the shiny new storefronts and restaurants, this pathway through the Gateway Mall promenade is a shadow of what was once here. Notice the gentle curve of the walkway. This was once the path of a rail line or spur making its way from 400 West, coming through the city and joining with the major connections of tracks, once numbering more than 15 behind the Union Pacific.
My parents were born in the state of Zacatecas, which is the central part of Mexico. I don't know how they crossed the border into the United States, but they ended up in San Antonio, Texas in 1916. And from there, my dad said they were recruited to go to Idaho as farm workers. They were put into a boxcar, given a piece of bologna and bread, and brought up north. They ended up living in tents here. To this day, my dad has a little nick on his ear where the rats gnawed away at him while he was asleep in the tent. In Idaho, they followed the crops. Then in about 1920, they came down to Utah, and my father became a laborer on a track gang in the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad. That's what he ended up doing most of his life. He was a hard and loyal worker. I don't remember him missing a day of work in his life. In the summer, he worked all day over iron rails, oil of black ties, and cement like clay dirt. Being a laborer on the track gang entitled hauling 10 to 20 feet long rails and pulling out old ties and replacing them with new ones. Each worker had to replace 8 ties a day, which usually wore out 2 picks a day. In the winter, he had to be out there at all times because the tracks were always breaking down and the switches were constantly freezing and had to be cleaned. It was nothing for his crew boss to stop by in the middle of the night and tell him to go out and work. It also was uncommon when the train ran off the tracks to work a 24-hour shift. During the Depression, he worked whenever they asked him, because there were always 4 or 5 people waiting to take over his job if he ever failed to show up. So he came out of the environment where wages were low, for like 25 cents a day. Unemployment was high and you took whatever work you could get. As a 4-year-old boy, I remember waiting by the tracks for my dad to come home from work. We had a little game going. He would always have something left over in his lunch bucket for me. One day, I remember sitting and waiting on a pile of railroad ties, and my dad yelled at me not to move. He had spotted a rattlesnake that was ready to bite me. He picked up a railroad metal flange, threw it at the snake, and killed it with one blow. We lived on 8th South and 6th West, right by Portland Cement. We were no farther than 20 feet from the tracks. We lived in an old boxcar, the wooden type they used for passengers back in the olden days. There were 6 cars and Mexican and white families lived in them. They were quite narrow but long, so we divided ours in half. One half was a kitchen with an old potbelly stove and a table. The other half was our bedroom. An outhouse was way down, far from us. There was no running water, but we had hot water. What my father did was get an old metal water tank, cut off the top, and hook it up to the stove. The water tower where the trains got water was half a block away. When he'd come home, sweaty and black with grease, we'd take our buckets to the tower, fill them up with water, then go home and fill the tank. So we were the only family in the neighborhood that had hot water. He was an ingenious little guy, always tinkering with things. In the winter, we heated our place with old railroad ties. We had 2 man saw, and we'd cut the ties into foot-long blocks. Then, before going to bed, we would put the block and a piece of coal into the stove, and it would last a good part of the night. You'd wake in the morning, of course, and you'd be freezing your buns off. But in the morning, and this is important, my father would get up before any of us and get the stove warm, and make sure that house was heated. He didn't show much emotion, he didn't show any overt love, but he was our provider. There wasn't any question about that. Picture this. On both sides of us, we had old steam engine which spewed out black cinder. All around us, nothing grew. The ground was all black. Cinder covered it. It was finely ground stuff, as I recall it, almost like volcanic ash. Yet, around our porch, around the edge of our railroad cart, my mother always sat in abstruse dreams. She had a green thumb, and that was a very important part of our lives, being able to see something grow, and flower as well, so our little house was clean. I was thinking about my parents this morning and about the question of integrity and values that stick with you. My father taught us that a man only has his word. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. If you apply this to politics and how people make promises, you realize that if you only bullshit people, then only that comes back to you. My mother emphasized giving. Giving for the sake of giving. Keep in mind that this was during the Depression. My mother would make a large stack of tortillas and a pot of beans. It was always more than the family could consume. But since we lived on the main railroad run, what would happen is that tramps would come through. They would stop by and they would always barter. Can we cut wood? Can we bring in coal for food? When they'd stop at our house, she'd say, "If you're hungry, eat." She would ask them to do anything. A year later, in the fall, Some of the same tramps would come back, and they would come back with cheese, with eggs, and with linen and silverware stolen from Utah hotels. But it's not that they brought that counts. It's the principle and the values that are so much a part of me. This is why you give for the sake of giving, without the intent or expectation of receiving anything back. But in fact, the more you give, the more comes back to you. That's why it's important value that I learned, the love of giving. John Flores, Director of Equal Employment Right Opportunities at the University of Utah.